Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery. Code Wondery.
There's a lot to say when buying a new home or car, but only one thing to say that can help you protect them. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And just like that, a State Farm agent will be there to help you choose the coverage you need, no matter where you are in life. When you need coverage options, your State Farm agent is there to help, on the phone or in person. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Upstairs.
Shut the fuck up. I've been wearing it all day. I've been wearing it all day. Starting to dress like a grown-up.
This is my finest plaid. I really pulled out all the stops for this one.
You certainly did.
In the hotel room. We share a hotel room.
Are you really sharing a hotel room?
Yeah, we are. Thanks.
Oh, my God. Did this go off?
Why did this go off? I want that to be a reality show. I want you guys living together.
I don't want that to be a reality show. I know. He snores like you would imagine him to snore.
Right?
Just by looking at him, you're like, I wonder how that... I got it. I know exactly how.
I'm sure you have your fair share of idiosyncrasies.
No, I sleep like a hot baby.
How's your con been so far? Have you seen anything?
It's been good. I bought like original cells from the Ghostbusters cartoon.
The real life Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
Yeah, the real Ghostbusters.
When you first saw the real life Ghostbusters, you're like, that is not Peter Venkman. And why does Egon Spengler look like he should be in the band ABC? Like he had this big blonde pompadour.
Another bad creation?
Yeah, no. No, ABC.
No.
My generation's ABC.
Well, when I was 3 years old, I understood that they legally couldn't use the likenesses of Peter Venkman and...
You're very smart.
I was. but the guy, like, I'm looking through the cells, and the guy tries, he's like, hey, this one's already matted. And he shows me this thing with Peter Venkman and the gorilla from the Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
You remember the cartoon, the Ghostbusters?
The other one.
Yeah.
The other one.
I was like, no, dude, those are two different cartoons. He's like, no, it's both Ghostbusters. I was like, no, it's not. That's the real Ghostbusters. That's not. Put it away.
Nerd fight.
What a piece of shit.
Right? That guy was dumb.
I was talking about you.
No, you weren't.
I bought a zombie doll with a detachable head from the Walking Dead booth.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Anyone else get it? It's adorable.
That's so sweet.
I bought it for my girlfriend.
Oh, my God. You guys, I have a present for you.
No.
Vamp for a second. I got to run up and get it.
You know?
It's times like these where we miss Chris Hardwick.
All right. Now that he's gone, he is keeping us hostage.
We have no control.
Guys,
we have
please help. Please fucking help us. It wasn't supposed to be like this. It wasn't supposed to turn out.
What the fuck are you doing?
Sorry.
Did you guys hear the Robert Kirkman podcast that we did a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
I don't want you guys to lose control of your bowels at how awesome this is. But a couple days ago...
It doesn't have to be that awesome for me to lose my bowels.
Fecal incontinence, it's everyone's problem. Damon Lindelof had T-shirts made of the drawings
that
we did.
Oh, shit.
And he sent them over, one for each of you guys.
Oh, man, with the fucking shirt?
Yeah, and it says, what do you do when zombies attack? And it's got Robert Kirkman and his Sasquatch jerking each other off, hanging from nooses.
Oh, man.
So here's yours. And even the bag, like, Lindelof is awesome. Like, the bag,
that's
on the bag.
That's some motherfucking lost money right
awesome.
There.
Wow. Yeah. That is, wow.
Come on, seriously, right?
That's great. I don't like that the testicles are censored, though.
Well, you can't wear it around.
I'm a purist when it comes to my bestiality porn.
I think you can see a ball.
Oh, God, come on, guys. No. Are you really going to sit there and dissect the Sasquatch ball while we're doing a show?
Hold on.
Okay.
That's great. Is he? He listens to this podcast, right?
Damon?
Yeah.
He does, as a matter of fact.
Hey, Damon, thanks a lot.
Yay. Thanks for the T-shirts.
What do I do with that?
I want to just kind of keep the show moving. We have a surprise guest for you guys who's coming out. Mr. Will Wheaton!
Yes!
Woo! That's been our secret handshake for 20 years now. Not so secret anymore.
Turns out it's not, but if you try to do it, we'll know that you stole it from us.
Yeah.
On account of its secret.
Yeah. No one else has a hat. I envision the hat being like a Lincoln-style hat.
Yeah,
what do you
course.
See?
It's, yeah. For me, it was always a bowler.
A bowler? Okay. Yeah,
you know what I saw today? A guy that is obviously Lincoln when he's on the job, but wasn't Lincoln today. Had the beard, the mole.
But did you see who he was with?
Who was he with?
He was with a guy in regular casual clothes with a Union soldier hat.
There you go. They really didn't communicate.
It was very confusing. No.
There were rumors about Lincoln. There were rumors.
I think I know where they met.
Thank you for waiting in line. I know this is sort of it's kind of an odd part of San Diego.
You mean that far away from everything?
Well, far away, and it's a little...
But close to Harrison Ford.
Yes. So exciting.
Also, thanks for bringing me the beer that my girlfriend bought me.
You're welcome. I think that anyone that makes a baby fucking joke should be rewarded with beer.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think
and then
so too.
Everything went horribly wrong. First of all, Will Wheaton, congratulations on Woodstock the other night. That was an incredibly fun show.
It really was.
You guys have done such an incredible job. You and Adam Savage and Paul and Storm. When did you... I actually don't know. What was the idea behind... Like, when did you start it, and what was the...
It was 2009, and I've known Paul and Storm for a really long time.
Yep.
And we were talking about figuring out a way that we could do some kind of show together.
Yep.
And Paul said, so I what do you think about doing a show that's like the This American Life stage show, but it's... like for nerds and not hipsters.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, yeah, okay, great, let's do that. And he said, and if you need more convincing, and I was like, no, I'm on board, I got it, that sounds great. But if you want me to make it like even cooler, no, Paul, you don't have to make it cooler. I've got it. Adam Savage is going to be the show. Oh, okay. So we had this great idea. We're all excited about it. And then, like with all great ideas that sort of are like require an audience. We thought, oh, nobody's going to want to come see this show.
Really?
And nobody's going to want to watch it. And so we just booked one show in San Francisco because mm-hmm. it was convenient for Adam.
Yep.
And I think I was already going to be there for something. And the show sold out almost immediately.
Oh, consider that myth busted.
And then we did another one, and then we
you
did...
You just glazed over that, didn't you?
It's part of our friendship.
Great. What am I supposed to say? Like, yes, it was busted. That was hilarious, and they laughed. And what do you... I have to keep fucking score of Chris's jokes now?
Please
no,
do.
No.
Will you? Please?
Just okay. See, it was adorable. Will was backstage when Chris was doing his set up front. He was just like, this is my favorite line.
Oh, like, that's so adorable. Sweet.
It's true. I just... someday I want to have a cape made of dicks. that's my
do you know what's
going
to happen? You're
going
to go to a con and some craft nerd is going to make you a cape of yarn dicks. And they are
that's
going to yarn
because,
bomb Will Wheaton.
Yeah, because like actual dildos are heavy.
They really are.
Yeah. And it would be really... I mean, I've seen guys in big, expensive, heavy costumes.
Yes.
But I think the guy in a cape full of dicks spends more on chiropractic than he spends on the costume.
It's not worth it. It's like it's all in the execution. They need to be felt. They need to be made out of felt or yarn.
Really? You don't mean felt in the other way?
No.
What if we cured
bonus.
The elderly that have crooked backs with capes of dicks?
Yeah.
And it would just pull them straight up.
Yep.
So there's some
is there
kind of...
anything dicks can't do?
Then I don't have to be uncomfortable looking at them.
You brought your son Ryan to the con this year. You brought him before though, right?
I did when he was a wee lad.
Don't say he's sleeveless and has bigger arms than me.
Yeah. it looks like
he's cut though.
Yeah. He is, yeah.
What?
Looks like he Nothing. Surfs. Does he surf?
No, he does all of the really incredible gymnastics tricking. So he does parkour and he does all that stuff. Like he sends, you know, if you're a parent, my son sends me videos from college like, hey, look what I just did. And it's like, I ran up a palm tree and backflipped and corkscrewed and landed it and somersaulted and ran up the wall on the other side of the quad. And then I backflipped over that and did a handspring off a guy.
What a fucking showboat.
Seriously, right?
We show a lot of those videos on WebSoup, but they don't end up so good.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is that I've seen those videos on WebSoup. And I'm like, Ryan, would you just watch this? When Ryan turned 18, his girlfriend took him skydiving. So I got this phone call from my son. Hey, guess what I'm doing? In 3 days, I'm going to go skydiving. And I said, let me tell you everything you just did wrong. You need to call me 3 days from now and go, hey, Dad, guess what I didn't just die doing?
Right.
Yeah.
Because for 3 days, his mom and I didn't sleep. We didn't eat.
Oh, my God.
Forget sexy time.
We were...
Thanks a lot, Ryan.
Thanks for cock-blocking your dad with your bullshit parachute story.
Why don't you go jump out of an airplane?
Yeah. Hey, daddy's got needs, buddy.
Yeah. What's wrong, Will? I just can't stop thinking about our son plummeting to his death. Just can't get it up as he goes down.
What's that
it's
sound?
Like you were,
it's your ovaries drying up. I'm sorry.
It's like you were all in my bedroom. That's weird.
But at least Ryan knows that as soon as he landed safely, it was sexy time.
That's why right when he landed on the earth, he just shuddered. He's like, oh,
what was that?
I almost kind of wish I died.
Hey, Dad, I didn't die.
It's a horrible thing I can't unsee.
You and I were never that adventurous when we were kids. We were these paranoid little nerds who were afraid of the out-of-doors.
Yeah. Should we go outside? No, let's watch Ren and Stimpy again.
Yes. Oh, my God. We passed those Ren and Stimpy tapes. I stumbled across Ren and Stimpy just casually on a Sunday on Nickelodeon. It was on at 11 o'clock on a block with, like, Doug and Rugrats, I think.
Yeah.
And
Nicktoons. Nicktoons.
And isn't that a weird matchup?
It was a totally weird matchup, especially, Ren and Stimpy for me was one of those cartoons that totally changed my worldview. Like, you can make it that way?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Space Madness was the first episode that I saw, and I instantly hit record.
Right.
The show hadn't been on very long, and I taped it. And I tried to make it as viral as I passed those tapes around. So we watched them over and over again.
Over and over again.
We might have talked about this when we did the other podcast together, but Will and I also discovered Mystery Science Theater together.
Wow.
It was only back in the 1900s, the Mystery Science Theater was only on once a week.
Television used to only go forward when we were children.
And if you wanted to see something, you had to wait till it came on. Or you never saw it again. But we just, when we had this apartment in Westwood near UCLA where I was going to school, and whoop, whoop, whoop. And,
rich people, where you at?
No, the rich people are all at USC.
Yeah, they were at USC.
That's where UCLA.
Yeah, yeah.
They were rich until the Ticketmaster fee.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Hey, let's make us all aware of that, Matt. Good idea. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good
That's
idea.
Awesome.
I guess no one's coming to the next show.
So we just used to, stay up and, have weird beer, microbrew beers, and watch Mystery Science Theater until, 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yeah. Sounds awesome. I still do that. Me and my girlfriend do.
You're young and adorable.
We frequently have Kevin Murphy and Bill Corbett and Mike Nelson and Trace Ballou. We have them in Woodstock.
Yeah, they're going to be on the next show, those
guys. We've had them in a lot of different Woodstocks. And the first time we had them in Woodstock, I did that thing where I just said, this has to happen now. You are such a huge influence on me. Mm-hmm. And there are things that I think are funny because of your show. Mm-hmm. And my sense of humor developed because of your show. Mm-hmm. And I could see them, they were like, thanks, that's really nice. And it's like, they have heard that 11 million times. And the amount of influence those guys have on guys like us, and I imagine on a lot of the people in this theater and listening to the podcast, is remarkable.
It really is. Yeah. It really is. That's another one of those things that just kind of changes the way that you see comedy when... because back in those days, there was everything was so polished and networky. Like, that show never could have existed anywhere else if it hadn't started on public, public access.
Yeah, right.
Or that local channel in Minneapolis first. But I don't think they mind that everyone... because it's better than hearing,
Hey, Hardwick, fuck you for Shipmates. Oh, I didn't create that show.
Sorry about that.
I said I was sorry, too. Like, that's...
This was so funny. That's what's weird about being on TV is that people get very familiar, so they'll just say stuff to you. Because they think people kiss your ass all the time, and they don't.
No.
So people go out of their way when you're out in public to let you know, like, hey, I know you probably only hear people kissing your ass all the time, so I'm gonna be real for you.
Yeah.
So a guy said to me right after Shipmates came out, hey, Hardwick, just saw your latest show. Not your best work. Not your best work.
Like, he felt compelled to repeat it. Like, oh, I'm sorry. Did you say my best work?
Not your best work. His tone was almost like, you're welcome.
And he's comparing it to the monolith of television that was singled out. So.
That's right. Fuck yourself in the face, Jonah. Fuck your scraggly mustache.
And guess what? You don't get to use my dick cape to fuck your face.
Your dick cape privileges have just been revoked,
yep,
Mr.
Sorry.
Potter.
I'll go to the back of the con and find one.
So what have you seen? What else have you seen at the con this year that you're excited about?
We did Woodstock, and then I did... I moderated the Eureka panel yesterday.
Nice.
And it was really cool, and I really wanted to come see you moderate the Big Bang panel.
So much fun.
But we kind of overlapped a little bit, so I missed it.
That's the worst problems anyone could ever have.
I did that, and then I just did a bunch of press and stuff, and didn't get to do really anything except work yesterday.
Yeah.
And then today, my wife went home today, and Ryan and I
all
went.
All right!
Woo! Okay! Coincidentally, Karen Gillan comes into town, and Anne leaves. I wonder how in the world I arranged for that to happen. So Ryan and I went to the con today, and honestly, it was really... We were walking around, and I went and, like, I got a T-shirt. Actually, I bought this T-shirt. This is
Miskatonic U.
Yeah, so I don't know if you can see this in the house, but it's sort of a gray athletic T-shirt that says Miskatonic on it. Like,
yep.
That's where I go to school, everybody. Wink.
I actually have a Miskatonic U shirt, too.
Good, okay.
Yeah.
Well, then I'll see you in the quad.
Don't feel weird about it, yeah, yeah.
Stay away from the drain in the center
of the
quad.
Yeah, don't go there.
So I bought this shirt today because... Every shirt I brought with me to Comic-Con somehow references Doctor Who.
Oh, really?
And I didn't want to wear it tonight because I'm already going to have a hard enough time that I didn't want to be like, I didn't want Matt and Karen to be like, yeah, thanks a lot, you fucking dick. You brought me onto your show with the Doctor Who fanboy number one.
No.
And he's wearing the Doctor Who T-shirt.
Also, he's attached to Karen like a cape made out of dicks.
And I actually made one of those rickshaw guys put a TARDIS on the back of his bike so I could ride up in it.
No, they're so nice. They're so nice. It's weird.
So anyway, that was the big thing that I saw was, like, we went and did this, and then we walked around a little bit, and I went to Oni Press, and I bought a couple of books that look really good.
Yep.
And then we were just like, we're over this. It was so crowded today.
Yeah.
And you couldn't move. And we were just like, we're done.
The con's like Vegas a little bit, where you go and you're like, oh my God, I can't wait. And then after a couple of days, you're like, I can't, I can't think.
Yeah. Yeah. All you can really do is walk slowly and smell horrible things.
Well, it's a problem because, you know, it's like, especially the people that have the more complicated, I'm looking at you, steampunkers, and it's just like wool and hot San Diego sun and, you know, like stuff. Get some funk gets in there a little bit, as would have happened back in Jules
steam,
Verne.
In steampunk days.
Yes, in steampunk days.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They don't bathe. They just shoot steam on themselves.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which doesn't really
like
help.
Every time I watch Deadwood, all I can think is, those people must smell great.
You know what? I think this all the time. I look back. I like the historical dramas, and I think that must have been the stinkiest time ever.
Especially Calamity
Jane.
How
did people, honestly, how did people have sex in the Old West?
Why do you think they called it Deadwood?
What? Oh, shit. If I were you, I wouldn't talk for the rest of the show.
Done and done.
It's odd for me. I'm drinking a Guinness in a Coors Light cup.
Oh, my God.
It really feels... I don't know who's more offended.
That's like putting a really hot girl in an Ed Hardy T-shirt. It's like, oh.
It's so true.
By the way, they're selling the Ed Hardy line at Target now.
Are they?
For the thrifty douchebag.
What happened to you, Target? You used to be cool.
You used to be cool. Yeah, you know, so I want a t-shirt that lets a girl know I'm going to sexually assault her, but I don't want to pay an arm and a leg for it.
I want to wear something that shows that I feel the same way about gay marriage as the store I bought it in.
Oh, damn.
There it is.
Wow.
Fucking A right.
He shoots, he scores.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Just a side note, me and Matt tried not to go to Target because of that
but
reason.
But their prices are so good.
Prices.
This is brought to you by Target. There's a headline in The Onion that's like, Target shopper looks down on Walmart shopper.
What's your favorite Onion headline?
My favorite Onion headline of all time is in their news and brief section, and it just says, shit parking ticket fuck. Yeah.
My favorite.
And it's like local resident James McIntyre got a fucking bullshit parking ticket today when he left his car for like 2 fucking minutes and went into the goddamn fucking grocery store. And some asshole fucking cop left it on his windshield. McIntyre, 21, wondered where those fucking cops were when his stereo was stolen 2 months ago.
You memorized it.
Because I read it over and over and over.
My favorite Onion headline is holy shit, man lands on fucking moon.
Yeah. Holy living fuck, says Neil Armstrong.
Yeah. What's yours?
Mine I don't think actually linked to a story. It was just a smaller sub headline, and it just said, owls are assholes, page 8. And there was another one, like it was like GM recalls neck belts, like they because of explosive decapitation. Oh, again, you're like another entity that, you know, that really speaks to the nerds. How was it? Did the Onion have a presence at Comic-Con this year? Do they have a presence at all?
Well, we're here.
Yeah, that's true. I guess we are all about.
And by we, I mean nerds.
Yeah. How have you seen you? How many cons have you been to now?
I've lost count. I've been coming since it was about comic books.
Okay.
the first one that I came to, the entire Comic-Con fit inside of half of what is now just vendor space.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was your favorite thing to see back in those days? Electricity?
There was a guy who sold plague blankets, and I got a lot of those.
I remember Nikola Tesla had a coil. hot air balloon.
Now, you know what was really...
I love that they wooed Nikola Tesla.
Yeah. Now listen to them boo Edison.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, Team Tesla, what's up?
Yeah.
You know, back in those days, I really, really loved that it was so much smaller. It was so much, like, it just wasn't as exhausting mm-hmm. as it is now. And I loved being able to go through, like, collections of comic books and find old books that, mm-hmm. that I wanted. And I really loved being able to meet sci-fi authors and fantasy authors.
Yeah.
And I know that it's kind of it's annoying to me that, like, I don't know, something that shouldn't, that I just don't associate with nerd culture. Actually, no, that's not right. I totally associate Playboy with nerd culture.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just
yeah.
not in an obvious way.
Yes.
Sort of a guess what I found in the woods, guys, kind of way.
Boy, why were they always in the woods?
I don't know. I just imagine that there's some guy who's like paying it forward.
Yeah, I think
yeah, yeah. One day you will be fined by a little boy that's discovering a whole lot about himself.
Unstick the pages, Jed. We're going to take it back into the forest.
Boy,
get out of here, you. No one needs you anyway.
I had an issue from like 84 or 85 with Julie McCullough on the cover that I am sure that magazine is way pregnant by now.
So here's my story about Julie McCullough.
Yeah.
Years and years and years ago, when I was on Bad Times. Mm-hmm. I just wasn't working very much, and I was struggling really hard to like sort of figure out what I was going to do.
Is this
because
you turned down that promotion on the Enterprise?
As a matter. You can't fucking prove that guy crashed that spaceship into us, jerk.
Oh shit! Now you've done it. Now you've opened a can of space worms.
So I went to this show. I was like, I have to pay my bills. So I went to this like autograph show, and it was sort of like your favorite stars from the kinetoscopes. You know, it was just like it was really, really old. And I sat next to Julie McCullough, and I knew of course who she was because she played an important part in my coming of age.
Yeah.
and things.
Coming
okay,
of age.
Okay, all right, we got it.
Did really? You hear what he said?
Matthew?
Sorry, Chris.
Myra Bowie.
Big C.
Damn it.
Big C.
Thanks for coming along, Captain Explains the Joke.
Oh, that's is that a Russian name?
Wait,
is,
I yeah. already made Captain? Thank you.
Jesus Christ.
It's not an honor.
Matt, you fucking nerd. Oh, my God. I love you to death.
Actually, no. You've been demoted to sub-ensign.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right.
What am I, like crewman, like O'Brien or something? Bullshit.
No, you don't even have a name.
What? No, the nope. sub-ensign is the one that has and to actually, put on the lipstick. And. You ever watch Oz? Kind of like that.
Yeah. They're waiting for you in the transporter room. Put on a red shirt. So I know who she is, and I'm like having weird feelings, right? Yeah, Even though I'm like in my 20s, and she's the nicest person in the world.
Yeah,
she's unbelievably sweet and unbelievably kind, and sort of got that I felt like my life is over because I'm here, and she was really nice to me. And at the same comic signing thing. Burt Ward, Adam West, Frank Gorshin, and two other Batman villains, and I don't remember who they were. They weren't like the big ones, but still like fucking Batman villains.
Yeah.
They were all there, and I was like, oh my God, Adam West is like on the other side of the room. And she said, he's really nice. Would you like to meet him? And I said, no, I really don't want to meet him because if he's not nice to me, it's going to ruin Batman for me.
Yeah.
And I did a movie with Rutger Hauer, and he is an asshole.
Really?
And he's an awful human being. He's a horrible, gigantic
The Hitcher
asshole.
Is an asshole?
Hard to believe, right?
Wait, yeah. didn't Batman and Robin ruin Batman for you?
No, because as far as I'm concerned, that doesn't exist. So he like it ruined Blade Runner for me. It's hard for me to watch Blade Runner. Can you imagine having Blade Runner taken away from you?
Yeah, that would
I
suck.
Know, right? Okay, so
the lesson here is never meet Rutger Hauer. Yeah.
So I said I'm afraid to meet him. And she said, no, he's really, really nice, and I think he would be really happy to meet you. And I said, no, I don't want to do it. Don't meet your heroes. A few hours later, Adam West comes walking over to the table that I'm at. And I'm like I love you. And he says, Will Wheaton, I'm a huge fan of everything you've ever done. And I've been like, you're across the room from me all day, and I'm like, I'm afraid to come over and meet you because I love Stand By Me so much, and I was afraid that you were going to be a jerk and it was going to ruin Stand By Me for me.
Oh, my God.
And I thought that it was best. And he goes on to tell me everything I told Julie.
Oh,
and
well,
I
then she put him up to it. She probably blew him, and then he was like,
she
okay.
Went, thanks for ruining
oh,
a special
moment.
Oh, I'm
sorry. I mean, he loves you.
Go to the transporter room with Matt.
All right.
My goal is to get rid of all of you guys, so it's just me and Karen Gillan before the show is over. No, don't applaud. You have to leave, too. It was just such a kind thing. Like, she went to him and was like, look, this nerd loves you, and would you, like, be nice to him? And he was.
And that's a big deal. I mean, like, you know, part of what's cool about sort of working in the nerdosphere is, you know, like I feel like we're very fortunate that we get to meet people that we respect. And so the idea that someone knows who we are is still very hard for us to wrap our minds around, because I'm a huge fanboy about stuff.
Yeah,
so
me too.
It freaks me out.
Walking through Comic-Con today and people are like, oh my God, there's Will Wheaton. And I'm like, where? Because I don't know, because I just hear like, oh my God, there's a person I'm excited about.
Right.
Oh, it's me.
Hey.
What's that motion? Are you like shitting your pants and then rubbing it on yourself?
Oh. Yeah. Don't you do that when you get nervous?
All the time. I just want to know we were just alike.
Yeah, we totally are. Yeah. We're nervous shit rubbers.
Do you suffer from nervous shit rubbing? You're not alone.
I know I do. Hi, I'm Will Wheaton, and I've been a nervous shit rubber since 1985.
That's why I'm promoting the towel shirt. It's a shirt that's a towel.
It's incorporated microweave fibers that remove the smell of shit off your hands.
A space-age polymer developed by NASA.
And if you order the next 55 minutes, you will receive this can of wax.
Carnauba wax.
And a shame bucket.
Shame. Because who needs the bucket?
That's right.
It's a bucket.
NASA may not be sending people into space anymore, but you can rub all the shit you want on yourself.
Yeah, that's right. NASA will just keep making upside-down pens and things that write underwater. And what is going to be the future of the space program, Matthew?
A sad, sad, depressing one.
Well, moving on.
Well, here's the problem. It's going to be corporatized right now, you know.
Right.
So, privatized.
That's working out great for America.
Right?
Yeah.
So they're going to just do things and cut costs.
Oh, my God. So, like, Justin Timberlake could go to the moon?
No, I better be Richard.
The moon needs to have sexy brought back. Ever since Buzz Aldrin got back on the spaceship, the moon's been like, come on. Come on, Earth. Why you no bring me sexy?
Who else have you... Who are some people that you've met that it really, like, blew your minds that they... They knew who you were. And then do you have a fail story where you're like, oh, this will probably be okay, and then you said something and the person just did not respond, besides Rutger Hauer?
At Comic-Con, like, three or four years ago, I met Randall Monroe, who does XKCD.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of my favorite webcomics. And he was with my friend Jeff, who draws questionable content. another really, really great webcomic. And... I walked up to Randall, and so you be Randall, and I'll be me, okay? Hi, I'm Will Wheaton.
Hi, I'm Randall.
And I love everything you do, and oh my God, you're incredible. And I remember that one comic that you did that one time where the guy was like, hey, look, it's a Unix joke, and I'm making a nerd thing. And because I was like, because me and my friends think about that too. Why am I still shaking your hand? And then that one time, and you did that other comic where the guy was like, and he's like, I'm Cory Doctorow. Whoa, because I know Cory Doctorow. And I was like, I can relate to your comic even more, and I think you're amazing, and I can't believe I'm still shaking your hand. And then I went... And I ran away.
You ran away?
I dropped his hand and ran away. I was so mortified. I couldn't help it. I was so excited and I was so exhausted. I'd been like doing stuff all, I was like doing autographs and like meeting people all day. And I was just like at that perfect peak of like adrenaline plus exhaustion equals I'm an even more hyper nerd than I already am.
Yeah.
And I've been in that position before, and like I've been the guy who's like I've been Randall Monroe in that situation before, and I work really hard to sort of like put people at ease and help them like not feel the way that
they're
I felt
there.
When I left.
They're there.
It's weird. I don't know. Like fans are not crazy about being pet.
No, they don't. They don't
no,
like being
it's
petted.
Odd. It's odd. It, like I think that they would like it.
But you know what's amazing though is that I feel like oh someone what was that? Just a woot.
I don't know. Allow me to translate. I'd like you to come down here and pet me.
Hey.
No, sir, that's not going to happen.
Nerds.
I've been super lucky, though. You know, like all the people that I've worked with, all the people I worked with on Leverage, all the people I worked with on Eureka, everyone I've worked with on Big Bang Theory, everybody I worked with on The Guild, they're awesome.
Yeah.
There is not a not awesome person in there. And you know who's incredible is Stan Lee.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. We had him on, I had him on the podcast once.
I have met people who are not a fifth the legend that Stan Lee is.
Yeah.
Who are not as kind and generous and entertaining and friendly. Jonah, for example.
Yeah.
As Stan Lee is.
I love Stan because Stan's totally the guy that he'll say something that's way over the top and then be self-effacing. Right? Yeah. Like he'll go, I just would love to be in your position meeting me for the first time. Oh, no one cares that I'm going to be on your podcast. I'm only the most important person in the world. And you're like, oh, I love you so much.
When he came, I'm sure, I don't know when this podcast will go up, but for you in the audience, on Monday, which I guess is 2 days from now, I'm on that weird Comic-Con time where days last 65 hours.
Oh, yeah. Yo, wait for the kick so we can get out into the... Yeah.
Yeah.
We're actually in a van right now.
I thought that explained so much from Adam Savage's party last night. So we're Stan was working on Eureka. Stan has a cameo in the episode of Eureka that airs on Monday, and he's really funny. The thing about Eureka is that it is probably the most professional cast and crew like ever. I mean, it's just, it is a well-oiled machine. And these guys, the crew that works on Eureka, they've worked on X-Files and Fringe and Twin Peaks. And I mean, they've worked on everything with the hugest stars in the world, right? The day Stan Lee came to the set, we were all 12 years old. All of us. And Stan Lee was like, of course, I would be happy to sign your picture. Come over, true believers. You know?
Every time I see him tweet out, your generalissimo is going to bed, I'm like, oh, will you be my grandfather? I want you to be my grandfather.
Sleep well, Stan Lee.
Oh, I love you, Stan Lee.
Enough said.
How was Adam Savage's party last night?
It was really fun. For the last few years,
I totally got invited, but I couldn't find it. I did get invited. So. I fucking did. I'll totally pull it up on my phone.
Really? Yeah, let's see that. That's not an email invite. That's Spotify.
Well, you can select your own tracks.
Yeah. Wow, that's revolutionary. So, you know what I could do that with? Records in 1979.
I don't understand.
So,
Could your... Oh, yeah, and like your record player couldn't make calls either. Damn, fuck you, AT&T. Oh my God, 130,000 nerds choking out the network. If AT&T were smart, what they would do is add just mobile towers, beef up the network, and then say, your beefed up network, courtesy of AT&T. The early adopters are here. Like, you need to make the nerds happy.
Yeah, send people out cosplaying as functional cell phone transmitters.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, why hasn't anybody thought of this? So, Adam's party's...
cosplay, that's when hot Asian chicks dress up like Bill Cosby, right?
Yep.
Yeah. It is.
And they do... Bip, bip, bin,
Theo Rudy!
Season 4.
I came here in my costume for you to take a picture of me, creepy old man, you see.
Yellow pudding pie!
Please enjoy your improved cell phone signal. I'm actually a schoolgirl from Kyoto.
So Adam does this party in the same hotel, in the same suite, and it's really fun. He brings all the Mythbusters come up, and lots of interesting people come to this party, and it started out really small, and it's just grown larger every year. It's like, you know, two interesting people invite two other interesting people, and it's sort of like the Adam Savage party pyramid scheme. Mm-hmm.
And invite two people, right. And those people invite two people.
Yeah, yeah, and the sales presentation is terrific.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and it's only a few minutes. So last night, the party that's been in the same room years in a row, some genius at the hotel put a civilian who has nothing to do with Comic-Con in the room next door.
How does a fucking civilian even get into a room at Comic-Con?
When we came down on the train, and on the train there was a couple in front of us, and the guy across the aisle says, so what are you going to San Diego for? And it's an older couple, and the lady's like, oh, we just thought we'd go down for a quiet weekend by the sea. And I was like, you are as fucked as a person can be. Yeah. You're as fucked as a person who's attached to Peter North. That's how fucked you are.
Oh my God, so, I saw Peter North in person.
Yeah.
Peter North was a porn star in the 80s, and of course,
explain it. Make him look it up.
All right.
Uh-huh. You can find out everything you need to know about Peter North at lemonparty.com.
No, .org.
Sorry, .org.
Yeah, that guy got really angry.
Yes.
.org!
Say it right!
Oh, sorry. God, don't go to .com!
Randy West is just a super tanned fuck mullet. Like, that guy is crazy.
Randy West is going to play John Boehner in the debt crisis porn parody.
Yeah.
He just fucks a porn star who's dressed to look like the United States.
Oh, my
States.
God. Wait, I have to... Here comes Florida. I watched the Simpsons porn parody. I did.
Wait, this exists?
It exists, and it's they're human and they're colorized, so everyone looks like they have jaundice.
Keep talking.
And you think it's gonna be hilarious until the guy who does Homer's voice. The idea is that Homer has traded his home video camera for a bag of donuts.
Like you do.
Yeah. So he has a bag of donuts. And so it's just around the town, you see all the places the camera's been. Whoever wrote it has seen a lot of The Simpsons. There's a McBain parody. There's a Cookie Kwan, number one on the West Side, who gets fucked by a Mo Sizlak. But what's so creepy about it is that when the guy starts doing the voice, like, oh, Marge, it's so close. You're like, this is like watching relatives fuck. It's so awkward.
Not like I bought it going, like, here we go.
Woo, this is going to be so hot.
Woo-hoo, I bet, two Liberty Bells.
I better put on my towel shirt.
Yeah, towel shirt.
My friend April is in the Star Trek porn parody.
And yes, she plays April O'Neil.
Yeah, she plays Counselor Troy.
Yeah, and, that must be very fulfilling for you.
I kind of wish that it wasn't my friend who plays Counselor Troy, because it makes it hard to watch.
Yep.
And I saw the outtakes of the thing. And there's outtakes.
Bloopers?
Yeah.
Whoops, cut.
Yeah.
Worf, put that away.
All right, everybody take 20 minutes.
It doesn't go in there. I'm sorry.
So there's this scene where the guy that plays Data is like having
sex.
Who
also looks like he has jaundice.
Yeah, yes.
He's doing his Data lines, and he's like, blah, 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 blah. Wait, that's not how Data talks. And then he resets, and then he does it again. And it's like, no, that's not how Data talks. Fuck, why can't I do Data? I'm like, because you weren't cast for your ability to play Data. But it's very funny. In one of the outtakes, and I apologize to everyone. Now I will apologize to people who brought children to the show.
No, it's 21 and over.
And they, oh, good. So yeah. Fucking cockballs, dick.
Whoa, hey.
In this one scene, it's in the outtakes. He just unloads this like Peter North-esque geyser-like explosion, a money shot on this girl.
She's space ropes.
Space ropes.
And the camera pans up to his face, and as Data, he goes, ejaculation complete.
That's what Data would say.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, nailed it. So, I just received a text. We'd been waiting. Our next guest had been doing a line of press literally all day. But I am very.
And this is their reward.
This is their reward. So I hope they're ready, because I am very pleased to announce, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage Matt Smith and Karen Gillan.
Dude, I love you.
Great to meet you.
Oh, hello.
Nice to meet you.
Hi, everyone.
Hello. It's Karen. Yes. Well, Karen is coming.
Awesome.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's... how's your Comic-Con? Are you having fun? Yeah?
Oh, my God, it's so charming when you say it. It's so charming when you say it.
You make it sound so classy.
Well, yes. I love it though. I'm having the best time. But it's great to see you, man.
It's
as
nice
always.
To see you too. I feel guilty, because I you keep doing the podcast for me, and I love that you keep doing it. I just feel bad. I hope you don't feel imposed upon.
No. Okay. Hey, listen, you're a cool cat.
Hey, all right. Validation complete.
Yeah. It's our pleasure to be here. I think Karen's been kidnapped. Seriously. Oh.
She came in with
Bye!
You.
Right?
Oh shit. Well. Will save her. And then he'll save her, and then she'll totally be my girlfriend, because I saved her.
Absolutely. But how have you been?
I've been good. How have you been?
I've been all right, mate. Yeah, you know, it's...
What? Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Karen Gillan!
Sorry, I was a bit late then. That was like, it was wrong on us.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, it was like, because we were just there sort of talking, and then it was like, Matt Smith and Karen Gillan!
No, I'm sorry. Well, I didn't have any way. I told them, because I know you guys were doing press stuff all the way up to essentially this moment.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, text me when they get here, and we'll bring them right out. So there was no way to let them
know. I thought you were just sort of bored, so you had your phone on the table.
Blah, 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 blah.
Look at
Reddit.
The amount of fucking cameras on you guys right now.
I know.
That's insane.
Is this your first Comic-Con?
Yeah.
It is indeed.
That's awesome. How has it been so far?
Crazy. Really crazy. That was so much fun.
I heard they actually walked you out to the floor.
Yeah.
That must have been madness.
Yeah. But, can you hear me when I'm here? just because it feels a bit weird if I'm there.
Yeah, get it.
Just grab, take the mic. Just take it.
Oh, what? I can just take it off.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, cool. Oh, that's much better. Yeah. There we go. Yeah, they walked us out to the floor, and we went to the sort of the Doctor Who BBC America shop, which was wonderful. And tomorrow we've got a panel, and we're going to show some teasers and stuff, which is going to be good. Yeah.
Squee! My friend Adam Rogers is moderating your panel.
Oh, cool.
He's my editor at Wired, and he's awesome. So you.
So cool.
Yeah. So he'll be in. You'll be in good hands with Adam Rogers. Yeah.
Brilliant.
I feel like it's not, as a fan of your show, it's almost not fair that I get to hang out with you guys on a semi-regular basis. And I was doing a show with Will the other night, and I went to the CVS, the drugstore, to just get some throat lozenges, because I hear you have to shout everywhere to talk to people, so my throat's been a little... And I run into you at the CVS, and I'm like, it's not fair that I get to keep running into you. This should have been another Doctor Who fan, because you're going to be on my show.
I know. And I... you in the drugstore.
In the drugstore. And I was like, hey, Karen, you're going to be on my podcast. And then I saw one of the BBC people just kind of braced, like, what's about to happen? And she was like, it's just Chris. He's harmless.
My my wife doesn't understand my Doctor Who, like, crazy obsession.
Really?
Yeah, well, because I've been watching it my entire life.
Oh, cool.
And
who was your sort of doctor?
My first doctor was Tom Baker.
Yeah, he's great.
But I always really felt like you know, they say, like, you know, who's your doctor? And Tennant was my doctor.
Yeah.
I think it is for a lot of people. And I have to tell you that you I'm going to be such a jackass. I was completely on board with you as a doctor inside of about 5 minutes.
Yeah, oh, thanks very much. Yeah, obviously... there was huge kind of skepticism, wasn't there, saying, who the hell is this young... prune.
It did not hurt that your hair is so awesome.
Oh.
Yes. And that's just a thing we nerds do. Like, it's just, that's our thing. We have to hate the things we love. Well, I don't know why.
But
what
happens is we get attached to patterns first. So we get it like, oh, here's a pattern.
Yeah, like every week. Oh, I'm going to save the Enterprise. I'm Wesley Crusher. Great.
All right, Matt, come on. Take it down a notch. Take it down a notch.
Aren't you supposed to be on that away team by now? Why are you still here?
You should be down on a planet getting attacked right now.
You should be down on a planet getting killed so I survive.
Yes.
So my wife just doesn't get it and sort of tolerates how much I love Doctor Who. So a couple of days ago, I was doing press for this show that I do, and my wife ran into you in the lobby of a hotel.
Oh.
And she sends me a picture of the two of you together, and she knows, listen, everybody else knows, so you may as well know, I love you. I know, it's weird and it's creepy, and it's good that Matt's between us, and I promise that...
Whoa, don't bring me into this, man.
Did you guys ever see
the
movie
Stand By
Me? No,
that would really be okay with me.
Did you ever see the movie Stand By Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, what?
Will's the... Will plays Gordy in Stand By Me.
He's the one with the leeches.
Boom, 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 boom.
Really?
Boom, 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 boom. Bum, 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 bum,
bum, bum, bum.
He's the one that had leeches on his balls.
Has come.
I love that film.
Yeah.
With the leeches. Leeches! Oh, no, leeches!
That's the first place you went. You couldn't have gone to, like, and you had the gun or your brother
and then
was killed.
When they
it was
the
right
body.
To the leeches.
I mean, literally, that... Oh, man. See, now I'm really starstruck.
Yeah, oh, my God.
I don't know what to say now.
Awesome!
Oh, God.
And you,
so
like,
my wife...
But you knew River Phoenix?
I did, yeah. We were very good friends.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, if...
You guys know he was Wesley Crusher on Star Trek The Next Generation, right?
They may not have...
I don't think that aired anywhere except in California.
It's on BBC America some reason.
What happened, man? I mean...
With what?
I'm only joking.
I mean, these guys are cool and stuff, but you're in Stand By Me, like.
I grew up and got awesome, Matt.
Yeah, I know. Right? Matt, you should have seen. You should have seen what happened to the other kids.
So the end of my story is that my wife just sent me this picture of her posing with you, and she's like. With with no message at all, because she knows, and held it over. It really, it was just like, ha ha, guess what I did.
So you
got to meet Karen Gillan.
You guys, you were pretty quickly like super famous. Like it happened like that. As soon as the episode started airing, I feel like people just knew who you were. So what's that experience been like the last, you know, year and some change?
It's quite a drastic change quite quickly, especially over in the UK. It's kind of like quite instant.
But here now as well, you know, I mean, it's really growing out here, Doctor Who, you know, it's really...
Oh, yeah.
Thanks to you guys, you know, and you know, I have to say thanks to people like Devon and Joe and everyone at BBC America who are really investing in it and pushing it and stuff. So they're supporting us, but it's it's bizarre.
It's a weird thing to comprehend, but we're shut away from it all because we film for 9 months of the year, so you don't actually see any of that, and then you'll go out in somewhere and it's like, whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you'd done the show before.
I had, yeah, with David Tennant and Catherine Tate.
Yeah. You were one of the soothsayers, right?
Yeah, one of the things with the eyes.
Yeah. So they knew that.
Oh, sorry.
Did we talk about this? Did they know that when you were auditioning for the companion role?
Apparently they knew, but I didn't tell them about it either.
Why?
I don't know. I just thought it would complicate things.
You think they were like, oh, she's already been on the show. Yeah, we can't put her on.
She's in continuity. That can't happen.
But it was, you know, because we did sort of 2 days of meetings for the companion role, and we'd met a load of people the day before, and we'd kind of, well, I say we, Piers and Beth and Stephen, who produce it, I said, okay, so that's the girl that's the top of our list. And then we did a whole day, and then Karen walked in a red coat, and she did the meeting, and she walked out, and Stephen Moffat put his arms up and went, that's our girl.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What did you have to do for the audition? What was the audition?
First audition I just read with the casting director, and then I got a recall. And then I met Matt here.
Yeah.
We read together. And I just
thought
remember
she
thinking.
Was mental.
I thought you were mental.
Oh, really?
Genuinely. Yeah, because you were going so mad with it that you were spitting at points, you know?
Have you seen the episode of Friends where, like, Gary Oldman tells him to spit?
Oh, yeah.
Good actor spit, man.
Yeah. But no, I thought he was very, very eccentric. And it was quite exciting. I thought this is going to be good.
Yeah,
there you go, eh?
Yeah, and then we got it, and we're great chums, aren't we? So it's good because if you didn't get on with the companion, it would be a real pain in the ass.
Yeah, you spend a lot of time together.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, you guys are trapped in Cardiff, basically.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So do you have anyone to hang out with her, or you guys are just like,
we have no friends.
No.
We'll come to Cardiff and hang out with you.
Yeah, do it.
Matt keeps saying, come to Cardiff. And I'm like, I'm going to fucking do it. Like, you don't even understand how much I'm going to show up.
It would be
You're
good.
Just going to show up with a little suitcase with a bunch of stickers on it.
What are we going to do now,
and like
guys?
A little Paddington Bear hat.
Yep.
All right, guys, I'm here.
And we could do a podcast in the TARDIS.
Oh, my God.
I'd be good.
I know a guy in L.A. who does a Doctor Who party, and he actually built a TARDIS, and he does his party like every year. So he built a TARDIS.
Jonathan Riley.
And he puts the TARDIS outside the front of his house. So you open the door of the TARDIS to go into his house.
Yeah, bigger on the inside.
And it's like you've gone into the TARDIS.
Nice.
What were you what were you guys doing before Doctor Who? I know you.
Wait, is that like someone telling me I know a guy who made the Enterprise bridge in his living room, and then you're like, okay. That's
weird.
No, actually, like, there's a bar in Cardiff that we don't
we
have
always
pizza
go to.
And drink.
And the
if you're ever in Cardiff, you should go to Bar Kutch. And the door of it, weirdly enough, is the TARDIS.
Wow.
And so you walk in, and then.
We always go there.
Yeah, we're losers. But
I know. It's like any other bar.
Yeah. It kind of feels like home. Really,
I quite like it.
Yeah.
What were you doing before Doctor Who?
Well, I did a lot of theatre and plays and, you know, bits and bobs of kind of TV and stuff. And I did a film with Eva Green called Womb.
Uh-huh.
But you know, kind of nothing like Doctor Who that has the notoriety. And it just also is as inventive and brilliant. It's a kind of standalone job, and I don't think I'll ever have one like it, you know?
It's a pretty unique job. What about you? What were you doing before?
Me? I did kind of loads of one episodes of things, dramas, and I also did a sketch show, which was quite fun.
Really?
Yeah, a bit of comedy.
It's on YouTube. It's
accents.
Hilarious.
Have you seen it?
Of course I've seen
it. Okay, don't get mad.
Have you seen it?
You don't want to know how much he's seen it.
Oh, thanks, though.
Karen's very funny.
I, You know, I totally when we hung out in New York a little bit. I didn't want to be like, because I do love the show, but I don't want you guys to think that I'm super creepy fan. So I didn't. I kind of wanted to give you a little space, but I saw you and Arthur Darvill, who is also
he's hilarious,
equally charming.
Yeah, he's a lovely guy. Yeah. He texts us both today, actually saying, "Stop having so much fun. I hate you both," because he can't be here.
Yes.
So it's a shame. Sorry, Arthur.
No, but watching the three of you guys hang out, I mean, it was so like, yes, this is exactly, as a fan of the show, this is what I want to see. You guys are screwing around and making jokes and having fun. And...
Yeah.
But you know, kind of that's it's so strange, isn't it? How art informs the way we are.
Yeah. It really does.
Show, and it's we're so ridiculous on set because you just need something to pass the time, but also the characters are quite bizarre and ridiculous.
I mean, normal life.
If you could see the things we do, you'd think that we need to be institutionalized. It's really, honestly, we often go,
"Oh God, we need to."
Yeah. Whoa, we need to chill out, don't we?
Yeah. An example of that would be.
Oh no,
we can't like, even do it because
no,
we
yeah,
defend
it has to happen
everyone,
in the moment. Like right now, we're being quite civilized, I think.
Yeah, and yeah, you judge us. So I mean,
I know, big time.
Oh well.
You could never do anything wrong in front of these, but you guys could step, honestly.
Because I've been trying since I sat down. It's really hard.
You guys could punch a puppy in the face and people are like, "I love them. I don't know what to say. They're the best people in the world." That puppy
really,
had a comedy.
Really
probably sold drugs.
Puppy
fuck him. Fuck that puppy.
Somebody said to me today that you punch kittens.
Oh, I mean, that's a euphemism.
Oh, right. Oh.
It was the chap.
Who was it?
It was the chap who we went on the G4 thing today.
Oh, that's really nice.
Oh, you did G4 today. You guys had a tag of the show.
And we were like, "Oh, yeah, Chris, we dig him. He's really cool." And he was like, "Yeah, he punches kittens for kindness."
I love, honestly, the one of my favorite things of all time was right before we did the New York show, the night before the show, I get an email from Devin Johnson from the BBC, and he was like, "Matt, Karen, and Arthur want to say hello," and it's that video of you guys singing at me, and I my buddy Mike Furman was with me, and he was like, "Why are you, what's going on?" I'm like, that was the nicest, but I also just think, that encapsulates like who you guys are. That, you know, like every charming thing about your characters, from my experience with you, is you guys. And I think that's really amazing that you can bring that to the roles.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of lucky to play people that are cooler than us, because Amy Pond's way cooler than Karen.
Oh yeah, no, I'll take that.
And the Doctor, I mean, it goes without saying, you know. Yeah. So I mean, it's cool when. What am I trying to say? That. They're basically cooler than us. Yeah. It has nothing to do with us, really. Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I making sense?
No.
Not really.
Where
are you going with this?
Did you say that sometimes before you go takes, that is it you that says, "Let's give it the old Smith and Gillen"?
Yeah. Oh, no, the Smigill.
The old Smigill. Yeah.
Oh, no.
That's embarrassing.
Oh, God.
No, it's perfect.
Yeah. We're even less cool now.
It's perfect. I love, and Stephen Moffat is a mad genius.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. Round of applause for the Moff. I mean, he's just incredible.
His brain.
Hey, how does he feel about American actors who used to be on Star Trek being on Doctor Who? I'm asking for a friend.
Guess who, Karen?
It's Michael Dorn, isn't it?
How awesome would it be if someone could comp in a TARDIS to Stand By Me and like place the body where it has to be? Like,
yeah, someone would have to have not already done that.
Oh, jeez. Oh, awkward. Oh, awkward pants.
Guess who I met the other day?
Who?
Data from Star Trek.
Whoa!
Brent Spiner!
Oh my gosh, she's all into Brent Spiner. I'm so sorry. Oh. Not Wesley Crusher.
He's totally my friend. I could like, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
When was the last time you guys talked, honestly? When was the last time you and Brent Spiner honestly talked?
A week ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Really?
Oh,
wow.
Seriously?
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I worked with him for 5.5 years on Star Trek.
Did you like the movie?
I loved the movie.
I loved the movie. We had issues over this, dude, didn't we? Like, I thought the movie was great.
I thought the movie was, it was a lot of fun to watch, and I thought that it did for Star Trek what Doctor Who has done for the last several years for Doctor Who. Made it cool and relevant for the like today's generation.
Kind of
with lens flares.
All right, shut up. So mad about the lens flares.
Lens flares?
You're mad about the lens flares?
Really?
It was distracting.
If you were distracted by the lens flares, yes, you were doing it wrong.
Was I?
Can I also say that it is unbelievable that you don't have an insane nerd boner right now that the guy from Star Trek is talking about Star Trek with the guys from Doctor Who? I assault you. I fart in your genital direction. Were you guys Python fans growing up? What kind of comedy did you like growing up?
Massive Python fans, yeah. It's merely a flesh wound.
Oh, yeah, you really are.
Yeah, I love Python, man.
Have you met John Cleese?
No, I'd love to. I'd love John Cleese to be a doctor. He'd make a great doctor. I always thought, so many of those guys would. But apparently, Eric Idle's a big fan.
Really?
Of who? Yeah. Because I met his daughter at a thing, or his granddaughter or someone, and she was saying what a huge fan he was. So
yeah?
Yeah, exciting. But my favorite movie is The Life of Brian. I think that's
absolutely.
It's the one for me, man.
They showed us.
What about the roads? Well, apart from the roads, it's so fun.
I took Latin in high school, and Latin teacher showed us that whole scene where the centurion corrects all of his Latin when he's trying to do the graffiti on the side of the building.
Yeah,
that was about the coolest thing that came out of Catholic school. Was that?
You were doing it wrong.
Good callback. What else are you guys going to do? You have your big panel tomorrow. Are you going to get to do anything else while you're here? Or is it all work?
So we have the panel.
Yeah, we do the panel. We got some press in the morning. We're going to hand out some burritos to you guys afterwards, I think.
Is that a secret?
Oh, it's a secret.
We're not going to hand out any burritos to anyone afterwards.
It's not going to still be awesome if it happens.
Yeah. At some point in your schedule, could you work into the BBC America guys? Just ask them to bring back Bargain Hunt.
Jesus.
Bargain,
you let that Bargain go? Hunt, right?
I'm tired of downloading it illegally off the internet.
Okay, what if you can have Bargain Hunt with lens flares?
Here's how big of a nerd I am. I got super excited in Amy's Choice when you're watching Bargain Hunt in the kitchen when you're making things.
Did you really?
I noticed that.
Wow,
I
didn't even know that you were watching Bargain Hunt in Amy's
Neither
Choice.
Neither did I.
If I see Tim Wannacott somewhere, I'm going to notice.
What are the fan reactions like over there versus over here? Do you see different types of fans, or what's the difference?
You're really expressive over here. Why not? It's really nice.
It's lovely. It's I mean, the kind of enthusiasm here is palpably different in all the right ways, I have to say. But it's great the way that, and I mean, also there's a huge culture for science fiction in the US, I think, as well, which is, I don't know, it's sort of part of you.
Well, because in England, you guys have a huge culture for culture.
Agreed.
It's very cultural. I tweeted out today and asked people if they had questions to ask you guys. So
yeah.
These are a couple of questions. At One With The Force says, who are your favorite villains?
In life?
Oh, well, okay. Oh. Let's start on the show and then in life.
Yeah, okay. On the show.
On the show.
The angels, I think, are my favorite.
Yeah.
And then the silence.
Then the silence.
I got to say, I think Toby Jones is remarkable as the Dream.
He's great, yeah.
Who are your guys' favorite villains?
I really like the silence, too. I love the silence because I love the way it sort of tied back from before.
Yeah.
Silence Will Fall. And I love the whole concept of them as a villain, that you forget them the second you're not looking at them.
He's, I mean, kind of what's so great about Steven is so many of his villains are psychological.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really interesting with who, you know?
I mean, when you think about, also when you, I think the, what do you think the most popular villains are? I think probably
the Daleks.
The Daleks.
Oh, the Daleks.
The Daleks over history, but I think modern villain, people tend to go with the angels.
The angels, oh, I think
yeah.
so too.
Kids always
I think
say
so
that.
Too. All right, so that was for that guy. So this is for Matt. At Jer Finestone says, what outside influences did you use when you developed your personality for the Doctor?
Einstein, Albert Einstein. And I would urge you, if you're ever on the toilet and you've got nothing to read, buy his book of quotes.
And you have just given us a little window into your life.
Yeah. honestly, it's bloody brilliant. You feel like you come out feeling like you were more intelligent than whence you went in.
Out with the bad, in with the good.
Yeah. Literally. And
well,
he was.
Can you remember any of the quotes?
Of the quotes.
One of Einstein's most notable quotes was "Way to shit there."
It's what's great is just his perspective on the world, like, because he's so clever, and he doesn't really believe in religion, all that sort of stuff. He sort of believes in a cosmic religion and a cosmic force, and he just takes the piss out of himself brilliantly in the way he looks. And mm-hmm.
That's a perfect description for where you've read that.
Yeah.
Takes the piss out of that and takes the piss out of you.
Yeah. Who did you look at for Amy Pond?
Oh, you're trying to get me back now. Yeah. I was just looking at girls of my generation and what I know about that and cool. stuff, yeah.
I will say that I love, and I know it's been really fun to watch your arc with Rory. Because he was that poor guy was such a lovable doormat in the first couple episodes, where it's like, oh, Rory.
Yes.
And then I think it's a real testament to the relationship of you guys. Because we all want the tension to be between the doctor and the companion, I think, as an audience. So when they introduce another, like a companion's companion, they're like, what's this guy all about? And then all of a sudden, you love him as much as as everyone else on the show.
Yeah. That's so great, yeah.
Yeah. And he's so funny and so good. And also, I like the fact that their relationship started off like that, because it had a long way to go. There was a big journey for them to become sort of equals.
And what's really interesting now is it kind of inverts itself, because now it's Rory telling the doctor off a lot.
Yeah, it's all messed up now.
Yeah, it really is.
I have a child.
It's got crazy. And then there's River, and then you throw River into the mix.
Yeah.
And guys, listen, I mean, in the next episode...
Oh, episode 8. Oh, my God.
Let's Kill Hitler. She is on fire.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, it's like there's just so many great sci-fi moments in it, you know, and I think Steven's done just great stuff, and then Alex just comes and delivers.
Can we talk about what happened at the end, at the cliffhanger? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't seen the cliffhanger...
Leave.
Leave.
If you haven't seen the cliffhanger, why are you here?
Yeah, exactly.
I've been real busy. I haven't caught up yet. I'm sorry. It's great so far.
Yeah,
I'll close my ears.
Okay. No. You're going to concerts and stuff. Things that hipsters do. You don't have time to sit and watch a Doctor Who
show. Me and my friends going to all the jazz parties. All of us hipsters with our bongo drums.
Taking down the system, man. But let me just say, River Song, Melody Pond, what the fuck?
I know,
so great. And also, kind of Stephen just doing a great homage to kind of Star Wars at the end. I am Melody Pond, I am your daughter.
Yes! Do we see what happens? I mean, because I'm assuming, you know, the little girl who breaks out of the astronaut suit, and then we see her regenerate at the end of, is it Day of the Moon?
Yeah, it is.
We see her regenerate. Is that River, or is that, do we not know yet?
That's a secret.
Oh,
a secret.
Damn it!
No spoilers.
That's a secret, but that's an interesting secret. And also, you know, the Silence have a really interesting part to play still, I think.
Yeah.
You're...
Ooh.
The Silence were actually just here, but you forgot,
about
them.
Yeah,
forgot
that's it.
There's a really funny picture on Reddit that's got a Silence sitting at the head of a table. There's a birthday cake in front of him, and it says, worst part about being a Silence, no one remembers your birthday.
Oh, really? I want one of those.
That's so genius. That's funny.
Okay.
They also invented the suit.
They did.
Yeah.
Subconsciously. That's why we love
it. They invented the Mad Men suit. Oh, my God. If we could comp in a Silence walking in the back of, like, Draper Cooper, Sterling Cooper, Draper Price in the background, and then they're like, oh, I think I'll put on a skinny tie today. Like, they don't know. They're
Who's the new guy?
Yeah.
What?
Piff.
I have an idea as how to market this.
The Silence is like, smoking is bad for you. Right, I got that.
Smoking is bad for me. Silence, why can't you help me land the American Airlines account? At Brain Freeze says, Karen, which Asian country would you want to visit?
Well, I would like to maybe go to China.
Uh-huh. Have you ever been to Asia before?
No, never.
You guys don't really have time to do anything the rest of the year, do you?
No, no, not much time at all.
Not
but
much.
I would love to do that. That'd be so cool.
What's a typical, like, what does your year look like while on the show?
Well, we start shooting in, ordinarily, we start in sort of August, and then we shoot through till April. Mm-hmm. And we do 11-day fortnights, so we work 6 days and work the Saturday, 5 days, 6 days, 5 days. But we do it in Cardiff, like, and so in the middle of December, in a castle.
Oh, it's cold, man.
Episodes 5 and 6 of this year, the gang of stuff. I mean,
oh, yeah, in castles.
You can see it was so cold, so cold. But we have a laugh, and we remind ourselves that we get to play these characters, you know. So it's
we get to run around spaceships. And stuff.
And but literally, and it sounds like, oh god, we're so lucky. But like, we do go, wow, don't we? Quite a lot, because you know, and the TARDIS never gets boring,
right?
You always.
Somebody want to turn off that fucking walkie-talkie back there?
What is that?
When I drove the Enterprise.
Yeah. All right.
Hell yeah.
He did.
I know. I mean, wow.
Even though it was just, you know, it's just lights behind plastic, because I was a young nerd. Spoilers. Because I was a young nerd, like, it was important to me. Like, everything meant something.
Yeah,
right?
And
I made it mean things. So, like, there's a way that I can, like, make the Enterprise go to warp speed. You know, like, those are the buttons that I push.
Yeah, wait. And,
right. So, do you do that with the TARDIS? Is it like, does it like do stuff? Like I pull this to make this do this thing, and I crank this thing, and
yeah. Kind of. I've taught you how to fly it, haven't I?
Yeah, you have. I can't remember though.
There's basically 5 different areas, and he has a lab, and he has this kind of navigation system. And if you notice, I'll always go. I flick a gear here. I go, and I flick the handbrake, and the handbrake can work both ways because it makes a cool noise going down. But you watch and you'll see. I always do the same
because
thing.
Because as actors, we want to be specific. And things need to mean things when
you
we
know,
do
Will,
them.
When we were teenagers and people came up to Will and they're like, "You're on Star Trek." He was like, "Fuck Star Trek." And now that you feel like it's going to charm Karen Gillan and somebody, you're like, "But I used to drive the Enterprise with my giant wiener." You're like, come on.
I never drove the Enterprise with my giant wiener. I used my giant wiener to program the holodeck. When you guys are on location together, so you're on location, you're, and typically when you're on location, you end up having, you form sort of a family, like just as like a means of survival, right? So I wonder if the sort of experience of being like isolated and on location and working toward, you know, the goal of creating the show, does that inform the relationship between Amy and the Doctor, where you're sort of, you know, you have that same kind of isolation?
Nice
and
that same question, sort of commonality? Mr. Lipton.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, somebody had to ask a good one.
Oh, snap!
Awkward.
I've been wee-toned.
We've been friends since we were 17.
We've been friends since we were
17. Really?
Yeah.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, that's right. I wasn't in Stand By Me. Whatever.
Dude, find a way to tie Singled Out into Doctor Who. You've got this one.
They don't. Imagine, they didn't
okay, get if Amy and the Doctor were like set up on a date on a ship.
All right. Oh my God, spaceship mates. Jesus Christ, why has no one done this?
Why haven't we done this?
I hosted dating shows when you guys were toddlers.
Do you know, I've heard
a lot
of that
older
show,
than you.
Singled Out.
Singled
I've definitely
out.
Heard of that.
Are
you kidding me? Are you serious?
No. Yeah. No, I am. Like, I'm sure they had like
remember,
a...
Remember, it was
like
Jenny
a,
McCarthy
an equivalent.
And
like and it, that's not you going out on the street, is it, and picking people?
Street mate!
No. That's a different name.
Was it Bargain Hunt?
It was not Bargain Hunt.
Someday it will be.
So that was an interesting question. So what is your answer to that?
I think the answer is yes. It definitely.
Totally.
It's really weird. It's merging our relationship.
It's
on
so
screen
our
and on
relationship
screen.
Is so blurred. It's really weird. It's really weird, isn't it?
But it is. It's definitely helped.
Yeah.
Sort of being isolated. And I think.
You know what's really interesting about sort of the journey with Amy and the Doctor is that sort of me and Karen came into this show. And obviously with Russell and Julie and David and Billy and everyone being so popular, it was we were sort of on our own. And we were filming, the first episode that we filmed actually was The End of Time, the Angels episode.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, we were just on the beach and we were sort of looking at each other on that first day going, Hey,
the
okay.
TARDIS was there.
Yeah, the TARDIS was there, man, you know. And wherever you place the TARDIS, it looks like Van Gogh has plucked it and popped it down. It looks perfect everywhere. It's because it's so sort of pretty.
We know.
Yeah. So
we have it on our desktops.
I've got so many different iterations of a TARDIS. I've got yarn TARDISes. I've got the TARDIS little USB ports.
There's a TARDIS here, right?
There's a girl TARDIS here somewhere.
No.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
TARDIS girl.
All right.
Wow.
There she is.
And there's also
I knew it. I saw you in line. I was like, she won't be able to sit down with that fucking thing.
Yeah, listen, it's just my ringtone. Don't worry about it. Yeah, it's my ringtone. If you call me, that's what happens. Yeah, I know. Please stay.
You should make a special one for them. That's the Enterprise taking off.
Oh my gosh.
That way it's different because Will calls and it's the TARDIS.
Oh, that would be awesome. Hey, you know what? Let's make a ringtone right now.
Okay.
You just do the Next Generation theme. Da 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 da. Just okay. Sing it. Sing a few bars of that.
Ready?
Yep.
Da 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 da. Chris, this is Will calling you. Pick up the phone, cause everyone is mad.
Sorry, Will, I am in the can reading Einstein quotes like math.
Welcome to life with us.
Yes.
The party never stops at Hardwick Wheaton Manor.
I just can't believe that you're in Stand By Me. I love that. I love that film.
Thanks.
Like, listen, Stand By Me, The Goonies, and like just generally films from the 80s. I mean, I was having a big Back to the Future chat with your man who plays the guitar on the show.
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh. And just kind of remembering fondly Back to the Future, but
and the hover thing,
yeah, and just how I wanted hoverboards to be real,
so real,
yeah.
I have had
screw solar power hoverboards.
Yeah, man, I was willing my skateboard up.
I've had dreams that I was convinced were actual life. I'm like, there's hoverboards now.
You know, I've watched Back to the Future 2 a number of times. No surprise, and it would have been faster for Marty to just run.
Hoverboards are not fast. They're not fast. Also, you can't ride them over water
unless you've got power. That's
you bojo.
I wanna be able to have a couple fan base questions for you guys. So let's just take like three or four questions from the audience. Let me take your wireless mic there, Matthew. I'll take no, Matt.
Oh, okay. Right. Cool.
You can use that one over there if you want, Myra. You what?
Oh, look, you Matt and Jonah can't talk now.
Do you have a question? Do you have a question for Matt and Karen? Oh, God, I'm going to die.
Oh, it's Idris.
Hello.
Oh, wow, it is Idris.
What
hey.
Do you and...
It's TARDIS girl. What's going down?
What do you and your ample bosom wish to say to the Doctor and his companion?
It's hotter over here.
And feel free to take as long as you'd like with your question.
Can we get the house lights up, please?
Yes, breathe as deeply as possible. Make sure a lot of O's and R's are in your questions.
Could you tell me at what point did you really trust Stephen to know that he would take you to the right place and give you the right stories and give you what you needed to create what you were trying to create?
I got this, guys.
Jonah, shut up.
No, go, man, go.
That's all I have. That's all I got, that one thing.
Yeah, I mean, look, you read one page of a Moffat script and the man's a complete genius. And Doctor Who is in his blood, his bones, his soul. You know, he's the greatest science fiction writer on the planet. I just love him. I think he's wonderful. So he's, and it's what's sort of incredible is The Weeping Angels, for instance. I mean, the crack in time came from his son having a crack in his bedroom wall, being afraid. Yeah. The Weeping Angels are based on a children's game called Grandma's Footsteps. You know, and he's brilliant at observing children, actually, and finding out what sort of scares kids primarily.
So it's therefore more relatable, therefore scarier, I think.
Yeah. He's all homage to Stephen Moffat, man.
Yeah, seriously, to be doing. You know, to do Doctor Who and Sherlock almost simultaneously, which was...
And having written Tintin as well, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know, it's interesting. I had always just assumed, like, oh, the Doctor is Space Sherlock. And then when I met Steven at that panel in New York, he said, no. They're completely different characters.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Doctor is compassionate, and Sherlock is a sociopath. Like, they're not the same character at all. Another question. I'm gonna die. Oh Jesus. your hand went up first, lady in the red tie. What is your name?
Madigan.
And what is your name, Madigan? I just asked you that wrong. I'm sorry. Words come out of mouth weird. Me no talk good. What is your question?
I mean, Matt, you made some really bold choices with theater. That face, fucking awesome.
Wow, you saw that face?
Yes.
Oh, man, cool.
Yes. What plans do you have for hopefully very, very far down the line when you guys are not the Doctor and Amy anymore?
Well, Karen's gone.
Yeah. Well, I am going to go onto the stage, which I'm so excited about. I'm scared. But I'm going to do a play in London this year, which I'm really excited about.
I'm going to do that.
It's a tricky question.
We've got a whole other season of Who to shoot, and we're going to work in between. I'm going to go back and do something about rowers, weirdly, for the BBC, and then then I shoot the Christmas special, which I saw the first page of the other day, which was very exciting. Stephen Moffat, like, we got a train up to Manchester to see this thing, and he was just writing the Christmas special, and it kind of weirded me out because he's there and he's writing, and I'm sat across from him, and he was getting really weird that I was there, and then he sort of writes and he taps away and he looks up and goes, and it just weirded me out that, like, Stephen actually has to think about what he writes.
Oh. Yeah.
Anyway.
And he's just staring at you going, I am going to make you dance,
Yeah,
monkey.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Madigan, thank you for your question.
Are you Sean from Shaun of the Dead?
She is Sean from Shaun of the Dead.
Nice outfit. Whoa, you got red on you.
I have a question about writing. When it was a really big deal for, we who love the show, it was a very big deal for us when Neil Gaiman announced that he was writing.
Yeah, the show.
Do you guys get that? I mean, is it a big deal for you?
Yeah. It's Neil Gaiman. I mean,
it's so exciting.
Yeah, and you know, he came with a great, wonderful idea. I mean, it was a huge deal for us and great for the show to have, a writer with his sort of science fiction heritage. Really,
you guys
know
also
him
the Neil
a little
Gaiman
bit,
episode,
and
right?
He was so excited.
Yeah,
so excited to do it, and was talking about it like a little kid. Just like, I get to do this, and I get to play with these toys, and I get to, you know, play with this stuff. And I mean, it seems like, I don't know who was more excited, him or all of us. We're like, wow, one of our favorite authors writing for one of our favorite shows.
Yeah, but he really changed. He really. I couldn't talk about this when we had him on the podcast because I didn't want to do spoilers. But since these people have already seen it, but the idea that we never consider that makes you rethink the entire series, and you go, oh yeah, the Doctor's true companion is the TARDIS.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, that's someone that he's kind of beholden to, because it's always the Doctor who's going, get here, do this, do that, but actually there's someone above him, you know, and it's her.
The TARDIS.
There are two more questions. There was that the gentleman in the bow tie. Yes, please. And then there's a puppet in the background.
Oh, this is not gonna go well.
Oh my God, you guys! It's you guys!
Hey! Oh, wow, it is! Oh, cool!
All right.
Wait, is that puppy?
What is your name?
Chris.
What's your name?
I'm Nikki.
Nikki, what's your question?
I wanted to know what, for both of you as actors, what was the most pivotal episode for your development in Eleven and Amy's characters?
And Matt, would you hold my sonic screwdriver?
Okay. How many times have you been in a locker room and heard that?
Yeah, oh yeah, of course, absolutely. This is one that goes up, right? Trick is as well, man, you gotta, that's the thing to perfect.
Oh my God.
How Thank similar you. Does that feel to the actual one?
You're not getting this
it's
back.
Much lighter, actually. The actual ones, yeah, sadly.
Sorry, don't give stuff to people if you don't want them to take it. I'm kidding. I wouldn't take your sonic screwdriver. So, it's nice to see you too, Chris. So, yeah, that's a good question. What pivotal?
Karen.
Well, I think the 11th hour, I know that was just the beginning, but it's hugely important to kind of introducing their relationship.
And to both of us, it's,
like,
what, it's a favorite,
between you and
isn't
Caitlin,
it?
My cousin, who played young Amy. I mean, you guys set that up, and then it changed again when I came in, and then, I don't know, I hope it's evolving every episode, though.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that as well. I think maybe... the Big Bang was pretty seminal, but
we've
ep 13 of this season's pretty huge, and I've got to say, guys, Karen in episode 10 coming up is brilliant. The best performance she's done of this season, and it's such a mad, because I love Who when it gets kind of weird and trippy and psychedelic, and this is a great episode for that. But she's truly really it's a remarkable performance from her.
Excellent.
Thanks, man.
I think we have time for one more question. And this it's better be a fucking great question, because
Chris, just remember to put the mic to the guy's face, not the puppet. No, that won't.
I don't understand. No, he's clearly holding a tiny man here.
No, Chris, that is just.
He's clearly elbow deep in a tiny elderly gentleman who didn't have legs of his own, so had to be carried here via his spine.
Towards the flesh face.
Sir, you're interrupting the puppet.
Muppet Moffat.
It's Muppet Moffat.
Muppet Moffat.
Oh my God.
Do you know? We.
That's brilliant.
Christoph fisting Stephen Moffat.
Oh my God, that's brilliant.
Chris, the poison's inside the head.
Who's the fucking puppet now, Moffat?
We heard about this. Apparently, you were at the Torchwood panel today, right?
Yes, I was.
We heard. We heard there was a Stephen Moffat.
There is.
Interior.
Matthew, I'm going to make your life a living hell. Every moment will feel like an eternity. That time on the train, I was writing your death scene. I'm wonderful. Sorry.
What is going on?
Do you want to try it on?
Oh, yeah.
Try it on.
Why the hell not? Yeah, so what's your question?
Oh, here. Sorry. Oh.
Did you buy this jacket from the estate of Hervé Villachez?
Estate is a generous word.
My question is, everyone's always talking about how many doctors you can get back for the 50th anniversary special, but I'm wondering if there are any companions you want to come back. Like,
no, I've got two are enough, I think, you know.
Aww.
No, I mean, who could come back? You know, it's
Captain Jack.
Have you seen John here at the con?
Sorry?
Have you seen Barrowman here at the con?
No, but no. He's I'm gonna, this feels kinda weird, so
okay, sure.
I'm gonna give it you back, but cool, it's inventive, man. There you go. Nice to meet Muppet Moffat. Who would I want to come back? I mean, I gotta say, it was such a tragedy that Liz passed, because she was a real joy of a lady. Yeah, for sure. But John would be nice. I mean, there's Rose, there's Donna, you know. But it's you know, I think companions coming back, I think it has to be for a really great reason. I think, you know, I do think it's a more interesting choice to have a doctor come back.
Yeah.
I think that would be, I mean, imagine having two doctors in just going, whoa, 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 what are you doing here? You know, it'd be mental. Imagine if Tom Baker could come back. How cool would that be? I mean,
is there any reason why he wouldn't? I mean, is it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't see why not. Like, yeah, he's kind of groovy, isn't he, in his latter years. But who knows? I mean, are there any companions you'd like to see come back?
I would like... My favourite is Rose.
Yeah, my favourite's Amy Pond, and then
I'll
Rose.
Be your companion.
Yeah, hey.
I'll totally be your companion.
Yeah, man.
I'll go on the TARDIS with you and travel the time.
I think we all would. Hey, a really quick question. Did you actually eat fish fingers and custard?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
No, I'm lying to you all.
He always lies about it.
Okay, it was... It was custard and coconut in breadcrumbs, but
okay.
I ate like 12 of them because we did it loads. And then I did try, I mean, I tried fish fingers and custard, which isn't that bad.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of not that bad.
Is it not that bad, like Vegemite's not that bad?
No.
That kind of thing?
It's really not that bad. It's really not that bad. I tried it on a chat show.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, on Graham Norton. There you go. Yeah.
Well, we've had you up here for about 45 minutes, and I know there's a special thing that you might need to go, do.
I've got no idea what you're talking about.
I mean, it's a total surprise. I don't know either. So
yeah.
I'm gonna let you guys go get set up for that. But I do want to say that, you know, you have to know that what you came into was a show, and just because you came into characters that were beloved, that the odds were stacked against you with the nerds, and you guys totally won everyone over like right away. And I think,
thanks.
And tomorrow, I mean, Hall H at Comic-Con is like 6,000 people.
I know. I'm so excited about it. So exciting.
You've done such an amazing job at really, you know, staying true and doing, making your own choices and making it your own and really creating a space. I don't have to be too like sentimental, but creating a space in our hearts for the Doctor and Amy Pond.
No, thank you, Chris. So, that means a lot. And you know, guys, also just, It's great support out here that you guys give us, and I think next year with the 50th anniversary, it's going to be bigger than ever. It really is. It's going to be huge. So
yeah. So really quickly, let's have a hand for Matt Smith and Karen Gillan for taking out of their day their schedule to come be here. I mean, I don't know if I'll see you guys later or not. I mean, that's like, I don't know. Muchas gracias, Nerdist Podcast. San Diego Comic-Con 2011. I have a very special surprise for you. The BBC has decided to make burritos in TARDIS sleeves. They will be served over here on your way out by two very special guests. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming. San Diego 2011! Woo! Thanks, you guys. I love you. I love you.
For more than two centuries, the White House has been the stage for some of the most dramatic scenes in American history. Inspired by the hit podcast American History Tellers, Wondery and William Morrow present the new book, The Hidden History of the White House. Each chapter will bring you inside the fierce power struggles, the world-altering decisions, and shocking scandals that have shaped our nation. You'll be there when the very foundations of the White House are laid in 1792, and you'll watch as the British burn it down in 1814. Then you'll hear the intimate conversations between FDR and Winston Churchill as they make plans to defeat Nazi forces in 1941. And you'll be in the Situation Room when President Barack Obama approves the raid to bring down the most infamous terrorist in American history. Pre-order The Hidden History of the White House now in hardcover or digital editions wherever you get your books.